Paul told Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, among other things, he was to read the word of God to the people, and he was to preach the word of God to the people. And that's why we do that every time we come together. There's word in God, there's life in God's word, there's spirit in God's word, and there's not a passage in the word of God that you can't read and profit by it, and share and profit by it. We're going to read out of the book of Joshua, the 23rd chapter. And before we do so, let's just have a word of prayer and set ourselves in agreement concerning the ministry of the Word, that it will be a profitable time for us, that God will minister to us through the Word, that He'll use me tonight to speak the Word that we need to hear tonight. Now, I don't know what the needs of the people are, but He does. And I just give myself over to the Holy Spirit. And you don't know how it blesses me when someone will say after a service, "Boy, you were talking right to me." Or someone will say, "You know, all week long I've been wrestling with that passage of Scripture. God had me in that passage all week long and I didn't understand it. And I come to church tonight or this morning and you preach on it." And there's the answer there. Or someone will say, "You know, as you were preaching, it was like you were answering my questions. It was like you were the telephone line and God was just speaking the answers through you. And I'd ask a question in my spirit and boom, bang, here come the answer." And so I don't know what your needs are tonight. But I do know the one who knows what your needs are. Amen. His name is God our Father. And He, by the power of His Spirit, He'll speak to me, through me tonight, to all of us, if we just believe Him to do so. Now, that's what I want Him to do. I don't want to say anything tonight. Okay? I don't want to say my words. I want to say God's words to you, because there isn't any life or spirit in my words unless they are God's coming through me. All right? I promise to be open to His Spirit, to share what He wants to share. And I'm asking you if you'll just agree with me that God will use me tonight in that way. And then we'll all go out of here receiving something from God. Amen? That's what you came for, and that's what I came for. Father, we trust You to honor Your Word tonight as we read it and as we expound it. I thank You, Father, for the anointing that's in me that leads me in all the truth. And I thank You that I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things because the knower of all things lives inside me. I thank You, Father, that as a minister of Your Word, that I'm an able minister of Your Word. And I thank You, Father, that Jesus Christ, who lives in me, has been made unto me wisdom. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, who abides and lives in me, are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Therefore, Father, I confess before You tonight and before these people, that as I open my mouth and speak the words that You give me, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Christ Jesus will flow forth. I thank You, Father, and confess before You tonight that rivers of living water will flow forth from my lips to give life to those who need to have life in any area of their existence tonight. I thank You, Father, that it is possible for an almighty, living, heavenly Father to use a clay instrument like this. And I acknowledge, Father, that the power is of God. The excellency of the power is Yours and not of us, not of me. I praise You, Father, for that which will come forth. And I thank You for ministering to the needs of Your family through the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua was the man whom God had chosen to lead the nation Israel after Moses died. God had spoken to Moses years earlier, and He said, "You call Joshua, you lay your hands on him, and I will take of the wisdom that's on you, and I will give it to Joshua, and he will lead my people." And you know that Joshua was the man that led the children of Israel across the River Jordan into the promised land. Moses brought them to the river, but he was not able to take them across. God had another man. His name was Joshua. Joshua was a man that had operated with Moses and the rest of the children of Israel in the wilderness all 40 years while they were wandering there. He was an elderly man at the time that this story is penned here at the 23rd chapter, at the time that this story covers. He is about to die. He has led the children of Israel into the promised land. God has operated through him mightily in leading the children, God's family, into possessing the land. And Joshua is reminding them and encouraging them of several things prior to his departure into physical death. Verse number 1. And it came to pass a long time after that, that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, and that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. Ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you until this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I love that verse. I love that verse. That's in there in Joshua a couple of times. And every time I read it, it just sends a thrill down through my spirit. That not one single promise that God made. Joshua said he'd been wandering with the children of Israel all through their years in the wilderness. He'd seen all the things that they'd done, but he'd also seen the works of God. And he said, not one thing that God has promised you, not a single one has failed. God's brought it all to pass. Now, the thing I believe that the Lord would have us to see out of this passage tonight is from the 8th through the 11th verse, that particular part. Many times Christians, having received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, having been filled with His Holy Spirit, having served God, having seen the power of God at work in their life, having seen the Lord fight battles for them, having seen Him win great victories for them, having brought blessing after blessing after blessing, promise after promise after promise after promise, begin for some strange reason to fall ever so slightly back into the old ways. Ever so gently and ever so subtly, the enemy deceives and entices and draws the children of God, if it be possible, back into some of their old thought patterns, back into some of their old standards, back into some of their old ways. Oh no, not obvious sin. Not the obvious things, but the very subtle things, the things of the world particularly, and cause us to draw away from God. And when we do that, whether that happens today or whether it happens as it did to the children of Israel, those that of you that know your Old Testament and know the history of the children of Israel, you know that even though God led them 40 years with a mighty hand, Although he led them into the promised land and caused the walls of Jericho to fall down and all of the nations that were there that were bigger and stronger than they were, he caused them to be driven out. He brought to pass every promise that he ever made to the children of Israel. He caused not a single one of those words or those promises to fail. In spite of that, the children of Israel did the very thing that he told them not to do. They started to take to their sons' wives from among the heathen. They began to give their daughters to the heathen sons for wife. In other words, they began to mix with the ways of the world, and they began to have fellowship with the things of this world that God had delivered them out of. And the first thing you know, they began to get interested in the kinds of things that the people had been interested in that God had dispossessed. And they began to worship those kind of gods. They began to worship possessions, and they began to worship the things that would give physical and sensual and material pleasure in this life. They began to put their hearts on those things instead of on God. Those of you that know your Old Testament and know the history of God's people through the Old Testament know what happened. That ultimately they got so deeply ensnared that God had to send them into captivity or allow them to go into captivity until they learned to set their hearts on a holy God. Now, the same potential danger exists for a Christian. And this is what I find happening to Christians. When they begin to fall back into the ways of the world, when they begin to cool to the things of God. Do you know what I mean by cooling? You get born again, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you find a love that you never knew existed before, you find a whole new family in God, you're just so full of love, you're red hot, you're telling everybody about Jesus, you're telling everybody about the power of God, you'll lay hands on anybody if they'll stand still long enough for you to do it and believe God to minister to them. You want everybody to be saved. Your relatives, your friends, your associates, those that are employed with you. But after a period of time, it seems that the devil, in his subtle ways, begins to make the ways of God look not as attractive as they once were, the ways of the world to become more attractive, so that that which we were delivered out of becomes once again a snare. Fear that we were delivered out of becomes once again a reality in the life of the believer. Bondage to money becomes once again real in the life of the believer, even though God has delivered us from it. Sickness and illness, little minor aches and pains, little nagging kinds of things that didn't trouble you when you first got filled with God's Spirit. You wouldn't permit them in your life for half a minute. Now you permit them to be there. Little resentments and little angers and so on, little things that someone else does to you that you would normally forgive and just get rid of and dump. Now you begin to harbor them and you begin to think about them and you begin to meditate on them. God warned through Joshua the children of Israel, and he said in verse number 13, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." He says, if you leave the Lord your God, and if you walk away from him and back into the thing which God has set you free from, he said, those things will become thorns in your side, in your eyes, scourges in your side, and they will trouble you. Only what do you do when you're troubled by those kinds of things? All of a sudden, fear crops up. Doubt crops up in your spiritual life. You read the Bible and you don't get anything from it. You don't understand what it's saying. Your relationship with a particular brother or sister begins to deteriorate, or in your family. All of a sudden, you're not able to believe God the way you used to. You begin to feel uneasy. You don't long to come into the presence of God every day like you once did. What do you do in a case like that? What most people do is go and pick out these verses, number 10. These are the verses that we always love when we're in distress. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, it is he that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Oh, bless God, deliver me out from this awful bondage. Bless the Lord, set me free from this doubt and unbelief. We go over to the book of James in the fourth chapter, the 7th verse, where it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We say, devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Get thou out of my life. But we forget one very important and absolutely essential ingredient in order to be set free from the scourges and the thorns, the irritations and the pricks. Let's read it here in Joshua again. Verse number 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done this day, unto this day. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. It is he that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Verse 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. We are real quick oftentimes to pick up verse 10 and forget verse 8 and verse 11. We say, oh God, set me free. But once you've set me free, take your place behind me. Once you have met my needs, take your place in the corner. I'll call you when I'm ready. Joshua said, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want it to be so in your life that when you stand, 1,000 fall. He said, if you want the kind of power in your life that causes God to do your fighting for you, he says, first of all, cleave to the Lord. Cleave to him. Do you know what it means to cleave to? It only means to hang on. It means to grab a hold of, to be joined to become one with. It's the same word that Jesus used over in the gospel where he says, a man shall cleave to his wife and they shall become one flesh. Joshua says, I want you to adhere to God. I want you to get a hold of him and hold tight for all your worth. You cleave on to God and all that he is. This Hebrew word also could be translated abide. We know what Jesus said in John, the 15th chapter, the 7th verse. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Oftentimes we're not getting our prayers answered in the Christian walk, in our faith walk, because our faith isn't anchored in an abiding Christ. We're not abiding in God. We're not abiding in the Word. We're not cleaving to Him. We're holding on to Him to get all that we need, but beyond that, we haven't sold out completely. Or we've drawn back. Joshua said, cleave unto the Lord your God. Then he said, one man of you shall chase 1,000. And in the 11th verse he says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. He is warning them. He says, take heed. Be sure that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and all of your mind. And you remember how you loved him at the first. Over in the book of James, if you just turn over there with me to the 4th chapter. I don't know specifically who this is for. I guess that it's probably for everybody, but I sense that it may be for some particularly. I don't know who that is, but if God is ministering to you tonight, do not resist what God is trying to show you tonight. Don't resist it. Let's begin to read in chapter 4 of the book of James in the first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith, in vain the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He says, do you think that God's put His Spirit in us to cause us to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And now we come to the very familiar verse, submit yourselves therefore to God. Underline that word, therefore. It means there's a relationship between this verse and the one right above it. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Why? Because God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God, because He'll give grace to you when you submit yourself humbly before Him and to His will. He'll give you the grace that you need in that particular time or in that particular trial. Then, having submitted yourself to God, cleaving to God, clinging to Him, adhering and abiding in Him and in His Word, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and one of you shall chase a thousand. After you have submitted yourself to God, after you have yielded to Him, after you have abode in Him and His words are abiding in you, then you'll resist that devil. Then God's fighting for you. God's not delivering you out of the consequences of your evil actions, only to have you do more of the same. Let me say it again. God is not delivering you out of the consequences of your evil actions, only to have you do more of the same. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to His grace. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Isn't it interesting that James uses the same sandwich that Joshua did? Joshua said, cleave to the Lord. God will fight for you and deliver you. Love the Lord with all your heart. James says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll beat it. Draw nigh to God. Same sandwich. Same effect. Oftentimes I find in ministering to... Now, let me say this, please, before anybody gets misunderstands. I don't want anybody to take condemnation on because of what I'm sharing tonight. All of God's Word is profitable for us for instruction. But if your heart doesn't condemn you, don't fall under a big ton of condemnation. Jesus Christ has made us free. But if you're wallowing in it already, and the thorns are sticking in your eyes, and the pricks and the scourges are gouging at your sides, I want you to see why. Oftentimes, and it took me a long time to see this. I would have people, good Christian folks, who were in anguish, troubled with anxieties, troubled with fear, troubled with unbelief, troubled with depression and oppression, and they would want ministry, they'd want deliverance. I couldn't get them set free, and I didn't understand why. And I found out through ministering to a number of people the truth that's in this scripture. Some folks want deliverance from what the devil is doing. They want the devil to take the thorns out of their eyes, but they do not want to get out of the briar patch. They want the burrs to be taken off of their clothes, but they do not want to get out of the woods. They like it there. Now, I'm telling you that if you're in the woods or if you're in the briar patch and the thorns are sticking in your eyes and the burrs are all over your clothes and it's uncomfortable, the first thing for you to do is to cleave unto the Lord your God. Submit yourself unto Him. Draw nigh unto Him. Those thorns will fall out of your eyes. and those burrs will fall off your clothes. Now, I believe I make myself clear. I believe I make myself abundantly clear. I believe you see exactly what I'm saying, don't you? If you are having pricks, you can't get free of it, look here and see whether you really want to. See whether or not you really and truly want to. You may say you want to, you may think you want to, but do you? Now let me give you an example. I preached a message out of the book of Judges about a year ago in this same auditorium on a Sunday evening. It was on the subject of thorns in the eyes and pricks in the side. And those of you that were here that remember that message, remember how the Lord showed us that night that when we come into the kingdom of God, if we don't get rid of all the old junk, like the children of Israel were supposed to expel all of those old nations, then we'll get ensnared, the things from our old life will become pricks. And I mentioned specifically that night because it was very strong on my heart that night for a couple of individuals that I'd been ministering to who had been smokers when they were serving the devil. Smoke like chimneys. Now, smoking will not send you to hell. Unbelief in Jesus will send you to hell. Smoking won't send you to hell. That's not a sin that has the death penalty. Only rejecting God's sacrifice will commit you to the lake of fire. Only that one. Unbelief in Jesus and rejection of that sacrifice. But I can tell you that if you smoked before you were saved and you've been saved, that if you don't dump that junk, it will be the ensnarement for the enemy to come in many other ways. How many of you would testify to the truth of that by raising your hand? That's not one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not smoke, so don't you misunderstand me. But I've seen so many. I'm just using this as an example, you understand. If you're a smoker, the Holy Spirit's probably already dealt with you about it. I don't have to talk to you about it. The Lord has already taken care of it. I don't know how many times I have seen people come into the kingdom of God, be filled with His Spirit, fall in love with Jesus, but not willing to break with that old habit. And the devil has used it to ensnare them. A little more today, a little more tomorrow, a little more the next day. All right, now with that having been said, I have ministered to many people concerning the smoking habit. If you smoke and you want to quit, and you can't quit, you need deliverance. You need to be delivered of it in the name of Jesus. And you can be if you want to be. I've ministered to many deliverance from that habit. I remember one, I won't call the person's name, but I ministered to this individual at least three times that I know of. God delivered her from that thing, that person, three times. And I can't tell you too much about the individual because if I did, I would identify her, and I don't really care to do that. Three times God set her free. She still smokes like a chimney, and it's going to kill her if she doesn't quit. She's not a well person. Now, I have come to find out and asked her subsequently. She knows it too. She doesn't really want to quit. She doesn't really want to. And she's finally admitted that. Every time God would deliver her, she'd pick them back up again. Now, the deliverance that God ministered to her was sure, but she didn't want to give them up. I've ministered to other people with a simple prayer, and they've given like that. And that's the end of it. No more desire. No more smoking. None of it. What's the difference? Am I different? Is the Holy Spirit different? No. Same ministry. Is the name of Jesus different one day and the next? No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's the difference? One person is submitting to God, cleaving to the Almighty, drawing nigh unto God, saying, Father, I want to be totally, completely cleansed before you. You've cleansed my spirit. You've washed me free from all manner of sin. Now I want my mind renewed. I want my body cleansed. That I'll be that holy sacrifice unto you. And Lord, I want to get rid of this junk and I can't give it up. Now, it does, whether it's cigarettes or whether it's fear or whether it's anger or whether it's resentment, I hear people say, I've got an awful temper. I get angry real quick. Please don't confess that anymore. Please don't keep saying that. Please don't say that anymore. You have the divine nature of God, and He doesn't lose His temper. He does not get angry quick. The more you talk like that, the more you're going to operate in it. And the more you let it happen, the more difficulty you're going to have in your life. Why is it that one person just seems to have a lot of joy in their life? They're happy all the time, walking with Jesus. They'll pray, sing, love God, serving God, and the next person is not. Doesn't ever seem to walk in 5% of his inheritance. Why is that? Because he still doesn't want to cleave to God. Because he still doesn't want to love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength and all of his mind. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, if you want to do the works of Jesus, you'll have to love God with the same reckless abandon that he did. If you want to do the works and the miracles of Jesus, if you want the light of Jesus Christ to shine through you, you'll have to cleave to God the same way he did. Totally, absolutely, completely, minute by minute, day by day. Cleave, cleave unto the Lord God. There's a beautiful story back in the book of Genesis about the man Jacob. And you know that Jacob was not really your best kind of guy. As a matter of fact, the name Jacob means supplanter. When he was born, he had a twin brother by the name of Esau. And Esau was the firstborn. And as they were coming from the womb, as Esau was making his way out of the womb, Jacob had a hold of his heel, trying to hold him back and get ahead of him. And they named him Jacob because he was trying to supplant his brother. He entered into a deceitful plot with his mother against his brother. He was not your best kind of guy. He didn't have the best kind of record. But one night an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And when Jacob found out who it was, he grabbed a hold of that angel and he says, I'm not letting you go until I get the blessing of God. He said, I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to adhere to you. I'm going to cleave to you until I get all that God's got for me. I'm going to have it all. I'm not letting go. Do you think if God was going to give a blessing, going to call a man a patriarch, he wouldn't call this man Jacob a patriarch? Why did he choose Jacob? Because Jacob was one that would say, I love this God with all my heart. I cleave to him with every ounce of strength I have in me. He wrestled and struggled with that angel of God. And do you know how the angel finally got loose? The angel touched him inside his thigh right here and caused a break to come in his leg, and he finally had to let go, and Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But that night, God changed that man's name and said, your name is no longer Jacob the supplanter, but your name is now Israel, because you have wrestled with God and prevailed. And he gave him a whole new name, and from him he named that whole nation. And you and I are his descendants, you see, because we're of faith. Joshua said, cleave to the Lord your God. Then one man shall chase 1,000. It is the Lord. He's the one that fights for you. Love the Lord God with all of your heart. Sometimes we're not getting what we want from God because we don't really want it bad enough. Many of us are idle and casual in making our requests of God. Oh, yes, we'd like to have it, but not bad enough to give up everything else we got. Not bad enough to sell out completely. Yes, I'd like to have deliverance from this coughing, a hacking that I have every morning, but not bad enough to give up my cigarettes. See? Yeah, see? Yes, I'd like to be delivered from this depression that I feel all the time, but not enough to give up my anger with my sister. She hurt me. Yes, I'd like to unload this feeling of heaviness. I seem to be carrying around 100-pound weight all the time. I don't like it and I want to get rid of it. But not enough to stop committing the sin that causes it to grow heavier and heavier every day. I tell you, friends, God is no fool. I think sometimes we think that we can hide from God. That which we do in quiet and in secret, He doesn't know about. Or if we don't tell too many people about it, we can keep it a secret from Him. No. 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 Those of you that are parents, you remember how it was when your children were out behind the barn smoking their first cigarette? And they thought that they had put one over on you because you didn't catch them at it. But when they walked in the back door, they smelled like Reynolds Tobacco Company. Well, I want you to know that God's nose is better than yours. And He's got a nose. I don't know why we're on tobacco tonight. It just seems to be a good example, I guess, to make the points that I'm trying to make. And I believe God would say to us, let's go all the way with Him. Let's really cleave to Him. I mean, let's grab a hold for all we're worth. Let's take a good hold. Let's don't just hang on by our fingertips. Let's get our arms around Him. Let's get our toes dug into His good earth. Let us cleave to Him from now unto eternity. Then you don't have to worry about the thorns. You don't have to worry about the pricks. They won't ever get close enough to you. I tell you, they come around you. You see, you're walking that close to God. They won't ever get that close to you. They'd be blinded by the light, lose their way. They could never get a hold of you. You've heard me say, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. The therefore means I give that authority to you, my church and my children. The authority that Jesus has, which is all authority in heaven and earth, has been given to you and to me. The devil has no authority over you. Bless God, he has no authority over you. Absolutely none. You've been delivered out of his kingdom and out of his lordship and out of his authority. And you've been translated under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there isn't any way that the devil can trouble you unless you let him. And I believe what God is trying to show us tonight is how we sometimes unwittingly let him. It's good for us from time to time. When things aren't going just the way we think they ought to go, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about external circumstances. I'm talking about that heavy kind of feeling on the inside. You know that feeling in there that just says something is not right? It's when God removes His peace from you and you know that something is wrong, you can't quite put your finger on it. I believe that if you'll ask God what it is and really desire the answer, that He'll tell you that just that quick, what it is. And if He tells you to stop doing something you're doing, or if He tells you to dump something that you have, then whatever you do, do it right then. Do it immediately. For if you don't and you harden yourself against the voice of the Holy Spirit, you will not hear Him as clearly the next time. Cleave unto the Lord our God. Love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul and all of your strength. God has made us in Christ Jesus an overcoming people, a triumphant, victorious, joyous, loving, and peaceable people. It's natural for us to love unconditionally. It's natural for us to have perfect peace all the time. Do you think God ever gets uptight? You think He ever feels any anxiety? You think He's ever afraid? Do you think He ever wonders if anything He ever said is really actually going to happen like He said it would? No. No. God wants us operating that way too. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He set us free. He set us free. Cleave unto God. Let us pray. Father, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for what you've shown us tonight, and we thank you for this opportunity to examine ourselves in light of your word. We thank you, Father, tonight for the assurance that we're cleansed by your word, that your word washes over us and cleanses us and keeps us clean. Impress upon our hearts, Father, that which we've shared tonight out of your word and the absolute importance of walking so close to you every minute of every day that we can see your breath, that you can see ours, that we can see your spirit, and you can see ours. We thank you, Father, for your promise to fight our battles for us. But we recognize, Lord, that when we're running away from you, it's very difficult for you to do our fighting. When we're fraternizing with the enemy, it's difficult for you to fight on our behalf. We thank you, Father, for revealing so clearly to us tonight the importance of cleaving to God. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name.